This is the TriDot Podcast. TriDot uses your training data and genetic profile combined with predictive analytics and artificial intelligence to optimize your training, giving you better results in less time with fewer injuries. Our podcast is here to educate, inspire, and entertain. We'll talk all things triathlon with expert coaches and special guests. Join the conversation and let's improve together.
Welcome to the show, everyone. We are super glad that you joined us for today's multi-sport conversation. Hey, real quick, y'all, shameless podcast plug. If you've been listening and really enjoy the podcast and are learning from our coaches and team, would you just take a few seconds, now if you can, later if you're driving in the car or something, you know, stay safe out there. But if you could just take a second and hit the subscribe button, whether you listen on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Podcast Republic, Google Podcasts, whatever you are on, hitting that subscribe button just helps our show pop up towards the top of the search list as fellow athletes are looking for a new show to listen to. So be a friend of the podcast, give us some love, and hit that subscribe button. All right, let's get going. Today, we are talking about all the considerations that we need to make as athletes as we get older in age. We're going to go decade by decade and talk about when you're in your 20s, when you're in your 30s, when you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and on. What are the things you need to know about your body's ability to train and race? Our first coach joining for today is Coach Jeff Raines. Jeff has a Master's of Science in Exercise Physiology and was a successful D1 collegiate runner. He's qualified for the Boston Marathon multiple times and has raced over 120 triathlons from competitive sprints to full-distance Ironmans. Jeff has been coaching runners and triathletes since 2009. Welcome to the show today, Jeff.
Thanks, Andrew. This episode has reminded me of the saying, the older the violin, the greater the music. And as a soon-to-be dad of three, I'm getting more and more gray hairs every single day. And this episode is one that I know many will enjoy and hopefully learn some cool info, but also be encouraged from.
Absolutely. Next up is Coach John Mayfield, a successful Ironman athlete himself. John leads TriDot's Athlete Services, Ambassador, and Coaching Programs. He has coached hundreds of athletes ranging from first-timers to Kona qualifiers and professional triathletes. John has been using TriDot since 2010 and coaching with TriDot since 2012. John, you ready to talk about getting older?
We're not getting any younger.
That's so true. All right, let's get on with it. I'm Andrew, the average triathlete, voice of the people, and captain of the middle of the pack. After our warm-up, we'll talk through the training considerations we need to make as we advance in age. And then we'll cool down by hearing from one of our athletes in the TriDot family about some of the things they've noticed in their own bodies as they've gone through racing at different ages in their tri journey. Lots of good stuff. Let's get to it.
Time to warm up. Let's get moving.
Everyone loves a good, corny popsicle stick, candy wrapper, or beverage lid joke printed on the label for our enjoyment. We've joked on the podcast before about having a warm-up question session where everyone shares their most horrendously corny triathlon joke. And fellas, today is the day. Week after week, our podcast audience has had to endure some terrible triathlon-based puns, so I know you two have some corny jokes to share. Jeff Raines, king of the dad joke style pun. Let's start with you and just share your best, whether it's from a meme or a GIF or just a race morning MC joke. What is your funniest triathlon quip that you want to share?
Oh, sorry. Sorry for the pause there. You must have mistaken my silence as interest in your triathlon training.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I see what you did there. Yeah. Now for a second, I'm like, Jeff, I was talking to you. So that's the... We're all so good about talking about the sport, right? We're all like so quick to share our journeys and our training and what we're doing, and that's kind of the joke there, right? The triathletes are so good at overly talking about our own training. I don't know about you guys, like my wife is very glad I had this podcast, because before this podcast, she would have to hear me talk about triathlon all the time, and she cares a little bit, but not a lot of bit, and I was sharing a lot of bit, right? And so now I can share my lot of bit thoughts with you guys on the podcast and not the other way around. So, yeah, that's a good one, Jeff. John, what is your go-to triathlon joke?
There's a great meme. It's has a old house, and the lawn is completely overgrown. and it says something like Iron Man encouraging or neglecting your yard since 1978. And that is so true. It's one of those deals. Like I do my own yard. I have a pretty big yard.
Yeah.
And if I'm training for Iron Man and I'm out there doing long rides on the weekend, the last thing I want to do is come and stay out in the heat and take care of my yard and mow and pull weeds and do whatever around the house that needs to be done. Usually it's, I get that session in and then the rest of the day is kind of like super low productivity. It's like lay around, nap, do the recovery boots, that kind of thing. So, and it's always like, yeah, I'm going to do that as soon as Iron Man is over. As soon as race day comes and goes, I'll get to that. That'll be like a post Iron Man project. And that's so true.
But. Just like hire somebody to do your art, to your yard and like add it in on the budget as like a training expense.
That would be great. Yeah.
And then not a lawn maintenance expense. All right. Well, for me, the one that always gets me is, you know, when you show up for race morning and everybody's kind of getting ready in transition and getting ready for the swim, you know, they have an MC out there usually just cracking jokes and making announcements and pointing people where to go and keeping everybody reminded on how long you have before transition closes, et cetera. Well, those guys always crack a few jokes from time to time. And it's always the same, like 5, 6, 7, 8, kind of obvious triathlon jokes. You know, they always start with, you know, how can you tell who the Ironman is in the crowd? Oh, you don't have to. They'll tell you. Like, and it's always those jokes that we all know. We've all heard them before. But the one that gets me every time, and I always laugh out loud when I hear it, is on those summer, those like middle of summer, you know, May, June, July, August, just those hot weather races where the water temperature is so absurdly high that no one brought a wetsuit because you just know this race will not be wetsuit legal. Never has been, never will be. It's 85 degree, you know, water temperature feels like a hot tub in there. You know, we're miserable. And it's just, it's never in doubt whether or not this race is going to be wetsuit legal. And they'll get on the loudspeakers and they'll say, okay, I know you've all been nervous about this. It's the moment you've been waiting for. I'm pleased to announce that today we will not be wetsuit legal. Like that announcement catches me off guard every time and makes me laugh out loud every time. Because it's just so funny that it's like, well, obviously we're not wetsuit legal. It's the middle of summer and that water is, it feels like a jacuzzi. So yeah, that one gets me every time. But hey, for you and our podcast audience, whatever tri joke it is that makes you LOL, just genuinely whenever you hear it, we're going to throw this question out to our audience on Facebook. So go find us. I am Tri-Dot on Facebook. You know, join that group. And find the post where we ask you to share your best, corniest, funniest, horrendously stupid triathlon joke. And we want to hear from you on what that is. So go find us there.
On to the main set. Going in 3, 2, 1.
As an athlete in my 30s, I can tell you good and well that I am not the guy I was in my early 20s. Now, my understanding, having had conversations with friends and mentors of various ages, is that that sentiment only grows as you advance in age. It just makes sense that there are considerations triathletes should make in regards to our training as we age up every 5 years. And today, Jeff and John will walk us through, decade by decade, all the things that we need to know about training and racing at whatever age we are at. So guys, Tri-Dot training already takes our age into account when designing and optimizing our sessions. But what exactly is it about our training that is impacted by our age?
So age is a major consideration in training and racing, how we go about racing, even what distances we race. So a major consideration is we reach our anaerobic peak earlier than our aerobic peak. So we peak anaerobically, generally somewhere in our early 20s, whereas we continue to develop aerobically throughout the 30s and generally peak somewhere in the late 30s, early 40s.
So our bodies are predisposed to the shorter, faster stuff early on, and our endurance, our ability to aerobically go longer develops as we age.
Right, and we see this even at the high level of racing. So when we look at the guys that are racing in the Olympics, these athletes are generally in their early 20s, and that's because they are at the peak of their anaerobic capacity, and that's that shorter, higher intensity, faster racing that we're able to do better in our early 20s. But what we see kind of on the flip side of that are the athletes that are winning Ironman World Championship long course racing, they are more so mid to late 30s.
Yeah,
and that's because they are at that, they're demonstrating that we reach our stamina, our endurance later, generally in the late 30s. So, and then what we'll see kind of in between is oftentimes we'll see those guys transition from that. So these guys that are winning the Ironman World Championship now, they were studs at the Olympic distance and the ITU type racing.
Like current men's champion Jan Frodeno was a gold medalist in the Olympics earlier in his career.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, and we're seeing the Brownlees transition from short course to long
Alistair's
course.
Yeah, Alistair's starting to race long. And see, I always thought, like, you see that when you follow the pros and you just follow what they're doing and on social media. So you see Alistair Brownlee is a current, at the time we're recording this, example of that, because he started racing 70.3s in Ironman this past season, did Kona for the first time, and was kind of coming off that gold medal in the 2008 Olympic Games. And I always thought, John, when you see that, I just always assumed, oh, they got good at the short stuff, they conquered that world, and now the next step up as a professional is just to go long and then conquer that world. And I just thought that was the progression of a career. I never considered that that's just biologically that age lends itself to kind of ordering your career that way.
Well, it is, but again, it's not just because we went short and now we're going to go long. It's that the body is changing and where he peaked. And this is something that actually is really cool. It's almost like you get a new birth, a new opportunity to start over to where you hit that peak in your early 20s. And so like in the big team sports, most of those guys are relatively young. They're in their 20s and 30s, and then by their mid-30s, they're done and gone.
They're an old man in the league by 35, yeah.
Yeah, Tom Brady playing at 40 is a big deal.
Yeah.
It's like, well, there's still guys winning the Ironman World Championship at that. All of them are in their late 30s. It's not, you know, you're not
Tim O'Donnell. Tim O'Donnell, age 39, with his second place.
Yeah, and even from there, I mean, these are professionals that are highly competitive. For those of us age groupers, it's that much more. You know, it's you know, we're not looking to go 8 hours at Ironman World Championships. You know, we're just looking to do these races. So there's kind of a unique opportunity for us as age group athletes to have these really long, successful careers in triathlon and really take advantage of that kind of two different phases that we go through. Kind of an example of it is Chris McCormick. Mm-hmm. He started off as a short course athlete. He dominated the short course world. He won pretty much every title that there is in the ITU short course circuit. He transitioned from there into long course, was a two-time Ironman world champion into his mid to late 30s. And then he tried to go back and kind of reverse course. What he said his greatest regret in triathlon was never making the Olympic squad. So that was his goal. Is after he'd already won world championship twice, he wanted to go back and qualify for the Olympic team. And as great a shape as he was, as much experience and knowledge and all that he had, he just couldn't hang with those younger guys like he did when he was
their
younger.
Bodies are just more optimal,
yeah,
you know,
and
for that age.
He had kind of moved on. He had peaked several years prior on that anaerobic ability, and he was where he was with his stamina, endurance, and it's harder to go back on that. But again, that's also at a very high level. So that's not to say we can't race short course races competitively or successfully as we age. But you know, you're probably not going to make the Olympic team once you cross over the hill.
Speak for yourself. I can do it.
Challenge accepted. Huh?
You know, there's a quote by George Bernard Shaw, the famous playwright, that applies here. We don't quit playing because we age. We age because we quit playing. And this can be applied to training or general exercise. You know, I read a number of years ago a pretty neat statistic that after your peak endurance, like capabilities, you know, kind of arguably your upper 30s, kind of what John alluded to, that if you don't work out regularly at that point and beyond, that you lose kind of those peak capabilities by about 1% per year.
Okay.
So arguably each decade, you could lose up to about 10% of kind of your peak capacity.
And you hear 1% per year, and at first you're like, oh, that's not that bad, that's not that much. But you consider over the course of a decade, that's a substantial amount that you're losing from age 40 to 50, age 50 to 60.
Yeah, and then they continue to further show in their studies that, you know, if you train regularly, that loss and that reduction rate can be hindered by as low as only 3% loss in capacity.
Oh, wow.
Per decade. So just
by staying
neat.
Active, you can retain up to 7% of what you would have lost ordinarily if you stopped staying active.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
And there's tons of other factors that come into play here that we'll talk a little bit more deeper with later. But, like, you know, besides just the aging kind of issues or, you know, being 20 versus 70, there are other aspects of life that kind of can hinder our training. So being 20 versus 70, let's say, you know, your work, your family, you know, mortgages, taxes, you know, they all have varying impact on your life at different stages in your life. They add different stressors and stuff like that. And even in your 20s, right, triathlon constraints may stem from, you know, acclimating to newer budgets, new job promotions, more peak hours per your work week, even daily home stress like newborns and sleep patterns. But maybe in your, let's say, 60s on, per se, these same triathlon constraints may stem more from, like, muscle loss, bone density issues, you know, your max aerobic capacities may change later on in life, and even recovery rates, stuff like that.
So kind of like I said, we're gonna go a little bit deeper for each age group here in just a second. But just in general, you know, what are the biggest differences biologically between an athlete who is younger versus once that athlete is older?
There are a number of things, you know, aesthetics, bone density, and osteoporosis, testosterone levels, recovery rates, and many, many more. But just to dive into a few of those, aesthetics, right? Every decade of aging, on average, people typically gain about 10 pounds. I've seen it written. You know, trying to lose weight by maybe a caloric deficit means actually that weight loss by that method actually yields about 25% of the weight loss being in muscle tissue, which can be very unhealthy as we age. As we age, our bone density and osteoporosis rates increase. They're more prevalent. So that rate of bone loss speeds up and starts kind of midlife. In women, it happens at greater rates, especially after menopause, when estrogen levels drop. According to the National Osteoporosis Foundation, that kind of 5 to 7 years after menopause in women, they lose up to 20% or more of their bone density. So it's just a huge contributing factor to how we train, and especially long course and endurance. You know, testosterone levels, gosh. First of all, like, testosterone helps us build lean muscle mass, and the more lean muscle mass that we have, the greater our metabolic functioning is, and this means more energy. And energy is just a huge, huge topic. We could do a whole podcast on that just as we age. But as our T levels and estrogen levels fall midlife, our dairy intake needs to be increased to aid in preventing the onset of osteoporosis, as well as strength training, right? And strength training has actually been shown to be the greatest promoter of bone density increases. So kind of later on in our triathlon journey, our lives,
that strength training becomes real important.
Absolutely, it needs to be incorporated. And then kind of lastly here, the rate of our recovery. As we age, our joints stiffen. We also lose flexibility. So don't be afraid to start new routines. A lot of us tend to be kind of stuck in our ways, and especially as we age, it's harder and harder to teach an old dog new tricks, so to speak. So don't be afraid to start new routines, new ways of cross training, even, and new ways to promote good health, whether it's diet, nutrition, new stretching. Maybe you're going to incorporate yoga for the first time in your life. You know, tons of recovery techniques, or even neuromuscularly challenging yourself to kind of reprogram certain form and maybe gait pathways to just promote being more efficient as we age.
So let's get to the part of the show where we just kind of go decade by decade. And Jeff, that was super thorough, just in terms of those are all the things that we need to be on the lookout for, just in general as we age. But let's get a little bit more specific, just for whatever decade somebody's in. You know, what are the kind of high level items that they need to be aware of, you know, for just where they're at in their tri journey and their life journey. And so you enter your 20s, you enter the adult world, you find this sport is a hobby or a passion, and kind of what are those items for a 20 something that they need to know about themselves as it relates to triathlon training?
So as I mentioned before, in the 20s is where you're going to have your anaerobic peak. You're going to most likely be faster in your 20s, or you're going to have the potential to be faster than at any point.
I wish I'd known that
so,
in my 20s.
Exactly. and that actually is kind of part of it. So it is advantageous for those that start in their 20s and maximize that anaerobic potential.
Yeah.
That's going to be something that sticks around. And that's something we talk about all the time, that fast before far, strong before long. Not only is that a concept that works within an individual training season or over a series of training seasons, it also is true within our life. So the faster we get, say in our 20s and 30s,
you're just raising
the
your
faster
ceiling.
You're going to be able to be right. The higher percentage of that you're going to be able to sustain as you age throughout these.
If only
decades.
I could go back to then and know that and work a little harder, work a little smarter.
And so both from a physiological standpoint and a lifestyle standpoint, what we tend to see in the 20s are athletes that are racing sprint and Olympic distance races. So again, we've already established that you have that higher anaerobic capacity. You're going to be racing faster. Your ability to race long is not fully developed yet. So the best thing you can do is race short. And really even lifestyle, that tends to fit better. So kind of as Jeff mentioned, oftentimes in our 20s, we're just getting started. We have not a lot of money, not a lot of extra cash flow laying around. Time is limited. We're often working jobs that take a lot of that time. Starting families, those kinds of things that really don't allow for excess amounts of training. So it may just be 30 minutes to an hour a day that you can squeeze in a couple of days a week. But when we're racing short course racing, that's really all you have to. So it just kind of lends itself to better. And I was fortunate that this is kind of my late 20s is when I found triathlon and started racing. And you know, this is what I started with. I still love the short stuff. This year, my A race was a sprint race. And that was even kind of going back after a couple of years of racing Ironman races. And I had my best success in racing was always short course. And I think that goes back to starting in my 20s and really focusing on developing that anaerobic capacity. So as we move into 30s, I kind of call this a more so of a transition decade. So right when you hit 30, I would say it's more in the mid-30s. 35 is kind of where this transition begins to. You've now
so
reached
the difference from 27, 28 to 32, 33 isn't that much.
Not that much.
Okay.
But I would say the difference between like 32 and 38, that's generally where we see a bigger delta.
Okay.
And where we see those changes have
sounds
have
like I have
really
a lot of changes to look forward to then as a 32 year old.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Some of them are awesome. Yeah. Some of them not so much. But yeah, so as you progress throughout the 30 decade, you've now largely maximized that anaerobic capacity, that anaerobic potential, and kind of set that ceiling, so to speak, for how fast you're going to be. But as you progress through the decade, now you're really beginning to have that capacity to really go long. Your body is built for these multiple hour sessions. So in our 20s, we thrived on a 60-minute max session, maybe getting up to 2 to 3 hours for that Olympic distance race. But now we really have the ability, the infrastructure, so to speak, to go 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, 15 hours more so as we truly get into
training for those longer races.
Right.
Yeah.
So we begin to see this even like the age groups at those long course races. So typically if you say an Ironman race, you may have several hundred athletes in the 30 age group.
Yeah.
But you look at the 20 age group and there may be only be a couple dozen in there. So again, all those things, lifestyle, physiological differences between the 20s and 30s, and that tends to even increase.
Yeah, I remember when I was a 29 year old and I was about to move into the 30 to 34 year old age group. Like I never really peaked at the 30 something age group results all that closely. And so I at local sprint and Olympics, I would play second, third, fourth out of six or seven guys in my age group, and I guess I kind of thought when you aged up, oh, it's going to be a little less competitive. There might be less people. And you get into the 30s and you're like, man, you start looking ahead. The 30s and 40s and 50s for men are highly competitive, like some fast dudes. And now at the same races, whereas I would be second, third, fourth out of seven. Now I am fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth out of 32. Mm-hmm. and just the amount of people you know, entering the local races in their 30s goes up substantially. And to your point, that's almost when a lot of people find the sport.
Mm-hmm.
Of triathlon.
Yeah, and I was going to make that point that oftentimes in the 30s, that's when a lot of people will come in and start there. So as we move from 30s to 40s, as I mentioned before, a lot of times the pros will peak in that late 30, but it's definitely for us age groupers, there's lots of room for continued improvements and gains as we move into the 40s and even into the 50s and beyond. But now we have that we're fully peaked in both the anaerobic and the aerobic, so it's a great opportunity to even take on some of those goals. Is if you haven't raced the 70.3 before, if Ironman is something that you want to do, or you still even have the capacity to improve in those because you're still very much there, and now you have that aerobic engine is fully developed.
Yeah.
Now it's time to see what it can do.
I almost had the like mental approach of let me do an Ironman while I'm 32. You know, before I get any older, you know, so that I can do as well as possible. And it's almost a different mindset. I might actually be more capable of that distance when I get into my older 30s and younger 40s than I am where I'm at right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So
wow.
I'm now 40 and I am now swimming and running at some of my fastest paces that I ever have. My FTP is currently higher than it has ever been. And again, I've been doing this since my late 20s.
John.
Yeah. I will say it's, you know, every month when I do my assessments and I sometimes even surprise myself that I'm continuing to make those gains. I report back to coach and team. It's like, man, Tridot continues to work.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I appreciate the chant, but you know, I'm just doing as I'm told, like everybody else.
Attaboy.
So yeah, I mean, I'm 40 years old. I raced Ironman twice last year. I was close to previous PRs. And so for me, I continue to see this throughout my 20s, 30s, and now into my 40s, continuing to do well.
Yeah.
But I will say that I have started to begin, to experience some of those signs of getting older. Some of those sessions hurt a little bit more the
okay.
next day. Sometimes those, where maybe a pain or a niggle, something like that, maybe historically would be gone in a day or two. Maybe now it takes 2, 3, 4 days. Maybe you have to be a little bit more intentional with recovery.
Yeah.
Definitely different than when I was in my 20s.
I never thought about recovery in my 20s.
Right. And something else that, you know, I experienced, especially into my late 30s and now into 40s, that it seems like the weight comes on real easy and it doesn't come off quite as easily. So it's one of those things that, you know, Jeff mentioned it's common for us as we age throughout the decades to put on weight. And I've definitely seen that for myself is it's kind of that catch 22. It's easy to put on and harder to get off. So yeah, as we age through these decades, things definitely change.
So now as I kind of tackle the top of the hill and over the hill and beyond, you know, the 50s, 60s and 70s, you know, I want to start off by just reminding everyone that this midlife here, the 50s over the hill, let's say, it isn't where everything just all goes downhill, right? I want to remind everyone that midlife is when aging and physiological factors start to hinder performance. It can be. But this is also where other factors begin to negate those things and counter those thoughts, especially in triathlon when compared to other sports. Such as, like experience, for example. Many triathletes don't pick up the sport until later in life. You know, that maybe they had monetary constraints in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. They couldn't afford that nicer, lighter, sleeker $8,000 bike or whatever. So now maybe they're at a point in their life where they're able to get a little bit more of the tools and the toys and things that can kind of help them out a little bit on their journey. And those little bit of kind of improvements or enhancing your gear could give you the improvements that would negate or counter some of the aging aspects.
Yeah, it's very, very true.
And so also, it's, you know, we're not training for one sport. We're training for 3, 4, and 5 even, right? Strength and nutrition. And so it takes time to master these things, right? And so into our 50s doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, the aging things, you know, super start to hinder us. So you kind of learn what works in your 50s, right? And you also learn what doesn't work day to day. race to race and season to season. So just because physiologically we peak, let's say, in our 30s, maybe early 40s for endurance, it doesn't mean we can't have a personal record in our 50s.
You can't be competitive, yeah. I've seen local races where the overall winner was 50-something.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's guys and gals that still have the fitness and you know, are still racing very successfully, you know, even at that age, yeah.
And I talk about this a lot, maybe even on other podcasts, but it's not always the fittest, youngest stallion steed, you know, out there. It's the smartest, you know, and that, you know, let's call it midlife, 50s and beyond athlete, they have it together, right? They have the experience. They know what works, what doesn't work. Now they have to rely a little bit more on nailing transitions, technical aspects, stuff like that. They have to be a little bit of cognizant of the cadence and heart rate and stuff that they're holding to have that success. But I just wanted to throw that out there, right? I don't want the 50s, 60s, and 70s to be deemed negative. But midlife is... you know, 50s and beyond tends to be where women start menopause, men's T levels start to change, metabolic functioning because of that, hormone levels.
And then, like you mentioned earlier, the strength training becomes a little bit more important. The flexibility work, you know, becomes a little bit more important, you know, to keep yourself able to, and really how you talked about earlier, you know, just the study where for athletes that stayed consistent in their training, you know, they saw less losses due to age, as opposed to athletes that stop training for a period of time and then try getting back to the sport. And so, you know, you can stay competitive and keep your body, you know, primed and ready to go if you stay consistent in the training.
Yeah, and if the 50s kind of arguably is when some of these the aesthetics, right, our metabolism changes. John talked about maybe it's harder to hold your race weight, let's say, bone density, osteoporosis, T levels, estrogen, you know, our recovery rates. Those things all start to kind of really hit harder. Those are things at least you have to start paying attention to. You can kind of hold it off, ignore it, be a little bit naive to it all. But in your 50s is when the onset of those things happen, right? But it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to get slower, okay? But as we transition into our 60s, you know, kind of once you hit optimal performance levels in triathlon, you tend to be able to hold that and stay there a while or for a number of years.
Okay.
So kind of like you peak in the 100-meter dash in the Olympics, right, in your low 20s, let's say. And you can only hold that for a couple years, essentially, and then you're kind of done, right? But for us in our 60s in the sport of triathlon, you can hold those peak levels for longer, 10, 20, 30 years even, because it's such kind of a holding a percentage of our max, that whole stamina aspect. So our sport yields that kind of optimal performance longer, more years, a number of years. So 60s is kind of when, you know, you're like, man, I'm still kind of doing this thing I was doing in my 50s if I did it right. But there are some statistics and things that really start to hit hard, adversely, unfortunately, as we start to hit our 60s. So as we hit ages 65 to 70, let's say, those who experience a hip fracture are, in this is quoted, they are 5 times more likely to die within a year. I know
that's
seems
dark stuff, Jeff.
That seems dark, it seems harsh, but it is a true statistic. You know, endurance exercise, it is an anti-aging tool. There are cardiovascular benefits, you know, better bone densities. You can also maintain fast twitch muscle fibers longer into life being an endurance athlete, as well as you know, the atrophy there as we age is kind of prolonged too. So we can hold the muscle atrophy in that regard. There are also technological advances, right? And data metric collections and improvements and gear and toys and watches and all the metrics that we can now measure prolong aging, right? And you can kind of maintain or even build your endurance peak performances by using technological advantages, you know, to your advantage. So this is kind of where we start getting into the CDC, the World Health Organization. But I'm going to throw out a few things here. The Bone Health and Osteoporosis Center reported that by the time we are 70, we only have about 50 to 55% of our muscle mass left.
Wow.
Okay, and that's just the general kind of healthy population in endurance exercise, performance, triathlon training, consistent training over the years can significantly improve that. It doesn't mean when you hit 70.
Okay. It's not a foregone conclusion.
Yeah, that's just for the norm, right? A blanket rule for the norm. The latest CDC reportings show that the average age of men is 76, while women live up to, on average, 81 years old. So women live longer than men. The World Health Organization reports that the average number of full health years in males living without major disease or injury is 67, while in women, it's 70. So that gender gap is a trend, and it's reported across all societies as well.
So knowing kind of those life expectancies statistics, you know, what are the training, you know, for our folks who are, you know, getting over 70 and are still involved in multi-sport, still wanting to stay healthy, what are the training implications for that crowd, you know, based off of kind of knowing those statistics?
Yeah, good question. I mean, we, you know, women, yes, live longer than men and all of that, but like all of these anti-aging tools, you know, our sport is just the perfect sport to aid in all of that. And we can do our sport and continue our sport lifelong.
Okay.
A lot of sports out there, you know, after a certain age, you just can't really do it anymore.
You can't take a hit on the football field at age 72.
And so it's just, it's very encouraging that our sport does nothing but help us. I mean, it's socially and physically, and we can do it for a long time. So settle in, have a good time. But inside of all of that, we just need to ensure that whatever plan we're using, workout regimen we're following, it needs to, these things need to take age into account.
Well, the good thing is for every age group we just went through, you know, from 20s all the way up through 70s plus, you know, Tridot does part of the individual, you know, customized training plan for each person, for each athlete. It does take that into an account to then optimize the training. So, you know, it's one thing for us as athletes to hear that and know that it's happening. But John, what are like the actual considerations that are made for our training based on our age? You know, what is it about our training that will change based on whether we're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 plus?
So all the training variables have to be considered at every age. So this includes volume, intensity, frequency, sequence of workouts, and recovery.
Okay.
For that rest, recovery, all that allows the body to make those adaptations from the training. So that's a little different at all those ages.
Okay.
There's a different mix, and as we mentioned, there's different opportunities at different ages. So all that needs to be taken into consideration.
So threshold 150s in the pool when you're 32 might look a little bit different from threshold 150s in the pool when you're 52. The sequencing might be a little different.
Right. And, you know, they may serve a different purpose of a different intent. It could be a similar session. But again, catered to that specific individual for a different purpose. So even sometimes those same sessions can be repurposed within that. But the training stress profile takes all that into consideration and will prescribe each athlete their optimum training mix. So what is their proper amount of volume? What is their proper amount of each type of intensity? And again, how much recovery do they need to be able to make those adaptations and stay healthy? So regardless of age, Tridot's purpose is to maximize each athlete's potential while keeping them healthy. But yeah, the main considerations as we age are volume, intensity, and recovery.
And the cool thing about the training stress profile page, if you're listening and you know you're an athlete, you're training with Tridot, if you've never visited that page, I would encourage you to do so because you know there's a bunch of charts on there. It really shows you based on your biometric data, you know your genetics if you plug that in. And your age, it just knows what kind of, for the swim, bike, and run, you know, how much aerobic training stress you can take, how much...
it knows your capacities to handle those types of stress.
All of that training,
and it monitors that, and it changes.
And it's using that to kind of generate your sessions and make tweaks to each session based on who you are. So go... The cool thing about Tridot is know that it's there. Go take a look at it. You never have to think about it or change it or tweak it. It already knows that about you, but it is cool to kind of go look and see, man, for my age, you know, for my biometrics, you know, what am I capable of? And it's just kind of a cool informative chart to go look at, right, John?
Absolutely.
So you guys have done just an excellent job, you know, just walking us through, you know, age group by age group, what to consider as athletes. And I know, you know, each of you guys have worked with athletes, you know, of all ages, you know, so just additionally from a coach's perspective, you know, just even anecdotally, you know, looking past the stats and the factors, You know, what are some of the tangible measures that you implement to best help athletes of various ages?
The biggest thing for me is communication. There are just so many aspects of the sport and even the training plan that the sport will always need that communication and a coach. But knowing like the specific goals of my athletes and catering to their goals all has just such a great impact on, you know, the race selection, your season planning, recovery strategies and more. And just it's, you know, also knowing the health status of the athlete. Each individual athlete has their own unique health status, and it can be hard, you know, not necessarily to pry that out of the athlete, but just also having a relationship that where you're comfortable enough to where you're able to ask certain things, or the athlete feels comfortable enough to share certain things. But knowing the difference between kind of like a technical or biomechanical related issue, or from like a serious health issue. Those are the big things. And so if you have a big health issue, you know, a training plan may not know that, right? and so having that relationship and the communication with the coach and just knowing when to go see a doctor, right? And so a lot of times an athlete will have an ache or pain or an issue, and they just naturally go to their coach before a doctor. But there's a point and there's almost an integrity there where a coach needs to know, one, when to recommend that athlete go see a doctor, but then two, just say, hey, you know what, you know, I'm kind of gone as far as I can here. You know, we're gonna have to take the recommendation of yeah. your doctor first and foremost.
Well, and we talked a little bit about how you know, athletes of different as you age, you know, the strength training becomes more important. The you know, flexibility work becomes more important. You know, incorporating some things like yoga and some cross training becomes more important. You know, John, does the conversation with your athletes, does the coaching of your athletes, you know, do you spend any more time kind of prescribing some of that than you would with a younger athlete?
Well, you definitely need to make sure that they're doing it. So yeah. Again, we always want to make sure these athletes are healthy.
Which, for the record, all that is beneficial in your 20s and 30s as well, right?
It is, yeah. But as we kind of know, you can kind of get away with it with being less prudent with those mm-hmm. recovery techniques in the 20s. And kind of as I mentioned, you start to feel them sometime in the 30s and really in the 40s, and I'm guessing from what I hear, even from there. But yeah, it's really kind of understanding what makes these athletes unique in their season of life. And what I always say is the coach's job is to maximize each athlete's triathlon experience. So whatever that means for the individual athlete, but that's going to be pertinent to the season of life that they're in.
Yeah.
So taking those unique opportunities that they have at each age and getting the most out of those, but also some of the limitations that they have and working with those to produce whatever it is that the athlete is looking to get out of triathlon, make sure that they're tempered with those opportunities, but also the limitations.
So before we sign off for today and slide into our cool down, you know, how far are each of you from aging up to the next age group, and how do you feel about that particular age group promotion that's coming up?
You know, I will say that I'm about to age up. I'll be the young blood in the 35 to 39. And, you know, John, I think, nailed the nail on the head earlier. You know, I was a middle distance collegiate runner. And, you know, I have this year alone beaten every time of mine from the kind of 2 mile 5K and up.
Oh, that's great.
So I'm in my mid 30s. And so I cannot beat my 1 mile time trial, my 800, my 400 meter dash. I can't do it. I pull a hammy or something like that. And,
yeah.
And so I just can't do it. And so you ask how we feel about it. I'm excited, one, in that I know my endurance potential is just at its start, and, have some high hopes for next year racing for me. But, you know, at the same time, I'm angry. You know, I don't want to give up my mile time trial. I don't want to give up those collegiate run days, and it's hard, you know, and it's not midlife crisis, you know, by any means.
Mid-30s crisis.
Yeah, but it can be hard. It's a little nerve-wracking, you know. I'm having to compromise in that regard for sure. Yeah.
So what is that 1 mile PR?
Oh, gosh. You know, I don't like being put on the spot.
It's just a number.
I never broke 4 minutes for the 1500. I've been very close. 401, 402, 403, number of times. So collegiately, it's a 1500, not a full mile. So just shy of a mile. So 416, we'll say.
I don't hit 416 on my math shuttles, but that's just me. So.
So I'll say my 1 mile PR is not that fast, but I do currently have a faster Ironman PR than Jeff Raines.
That is so true.
But
moving along,
but
just kidding.
But I'm older. I've reached that. You know, we'll call it that. We'll blame it on that. That I'm just older, and I reached my aerobic potential sooner than he did, and I fully expect that to go down very soon. But for now, I'm going to put that on the record that my Ironman PR is faster.
So John, for you, as the one at the table, you're in your 40s. You mentioned earlier you've seen kind of some more recovery time needed. You know, when you have a little nick or niggle, or you know, in between some of those harder sessions, you've noticed a little bit more soreness just due to age. You know, how do you feel about racing in your 40s?
So, actually quite excited. I've raced, as I mentioned last year, I did one race as a 40-year-old. I had my birthday in between those two Ironman races that I did late in the season. But I raced last year, you know, my race age was 40, but only that last race of the year actually was. So as I mentioned before too, this year, my A race, my focus was a sprint race. And of course, it got COVID, so it got cut, so it didn't happen. Got coroned, and my goal was to win Masters. So for me, I was actually kind of excited.
Yeah.
you know, I guess I started in my late 20s, and those guys are fast, and then I aged up to 30s. Those guys are faster. I aged up to 35. Those guys were even faster. And not, you know, I'd say if anything, it kind of levels off. I'm not sure that the 40 age group is necessarily faster than the 35.
But they're not slower. But
yeah, it's not much, but at least we kind of have that. There's like a new measuring stick where we get to compete as masters. So we're not competing with all those, especially at the sprint race. I don't have to beat the 29-year-old. I don't have to beat the 32-year-old. I don't have to beat Jeff Raines. I just have to beat all the other 40 plus guys. So, and especially as one of the youngest in the masters, you know, I certainly have that advantage. I'm closer to that anaerobic, potential, but
we will be rooting for you.
That
was
my goal. And, man, it sucks. I was in great shape. On what would have been race day. And so we'll see. You know, for now, it's probably going to be my goal headed into next year. And,
all right,
and
great.
We'll see. I'll be a year older, but so is everybody else.
Yeah, we will be rooting for you on that.
Great set, everyone. Let's cool down.
This is Tri-Dot athlete James from Virginia, elder statesman of the Tri-Dot Ambassador Corps. I did my first triathlon in 1990 at the age of 38. I did my first full Ironman in 2019 at the age of 67. I was a distance runner in high school, and after college, I got caught up in the gym fix running fad of the 70s. I did my first marathon in 1976 at age 24. But even at that age, I began to learn very early that the older I got, the more recovery I needed. I got into triathlon kind of on a whim because I was at a point in my training where my body and my knees could no longer handle the constant run training. My son's Boy Scout troop wanted to do the CNO Canal on bikes. And the leadership of his troop said, James, you have to come with us because you're the only one in good enough shape to hang with the older boys. So that reintroduced me to the joy that I had of cycling as a kid. Well, several of my friends who were triathletes said, hey, we know you can run. Now that you can ride your bike again, if you can learn to swim, you can hang with the big dogs. That statement prompted me to show up for a master swim class the very next day, and that was my start on this long journey of triathlon. And when I think back on the types of training that we did, We read the books, we followed the training plans, but they were all designed for the under 30 athlete. We were always tired, we were always hurt, and we had no life outside of triathlon. The dumb things we did back then, all under the guise of state-of-the-art training. So to get the recovery I needed, I tried to strategically skip workouts or cut them short, having no clue what I was doing. Fortunately, I found TriDot, and they take all the guesswork out. They designed my workouts based on my age and even on my genetics. Their pitch is better results on less training with fewer injuries. Well, I set my PR in the 70.3 back in 2008 at the age of 56. Through TriDot training, I broke that PR in 2019 at the age of 67. So I can truthfully say for me that TriDot has definitely lived up to their pitch. I still have, still looking for that perfect race where you put all three disciplines together, and I still have Kona qualifying on my bucket list. And I truly think through TriDot, I have a legitimate chance at fulfilling that dream.
James, thank you so much for sharing your Tri journey with us. Everyone at TriDot is rooting for you to fulfill that dream of qualifying for Kona. My hope for you is that you get to check Kona off your bucket list. And my hope for myself is that I'm still healthy and knocking down PRs at age 67, just like James. Inspiring stuff. Well, that's it for today, folks. Big thanks to coaches Jeff Raines and John Mayfield for talking to us about training as we age. And thanks to TriBike Transport for partnering with us on today's show. Enjoying the podcast? Hit the subscribe button and leave us a review. And if you have a topic or question that you want to hear us talk about, head to tridot.com/podcast and click on Leave Us a Voicemail to record your question for the show. We'll do it all again soon. Until then, happy training.
Thanks for joining us. Make sure to subscribe and share the TriDot podcast with your triathlon crew. For more great tri content and community, connect with us on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Ready to optimize